God has a plan, and that plan is put in effect almost each and every day. That song you picked is a perfect start. We have a good Father. There's nothing in this world that's impossible through Him, through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. About a month ago, I started listening to the news, and I always turn it off. Always turn it off. But this time they said, thank you for answered prayer, so I left it on there. Because usually the news is bad. But this was about those, was there 12 young men in Thailand? And they thought they were going to have to wait 2 months to get them out. One man even died trying to get them out. He went through that cave and down and under the water and back up and down under the water, and he had tanks of air that he was going to leave in different places where the flooding of the water had not come into the cave. But he gave so much away that he himself didn't have enough left, did he? He died. These guys didn't know how to swim, but our good Father had a plan. They even made the list themselves, and they got out, didn't they? And the news kept saying, thank you for this prayer. It was all over the news, all over the world. Let me tell you something. Each and every day, our good Father, through Jesus the Word, and through the Holy Spirit who lives around and within us, has news that's twice as good, it's 10 times as good. The angels in heaven rejoiced when those young men got out. But He's having a party each and every day that a soul is saved through Jesus. Colombia, South America, there was a fifth grade girl, and she brought home a little New Testament like this. And she was afraid to read it because her dad always told her, you can't understand this by yourself. That's a lie. You can read and understand. His word won't come back empty or void in our hearts if we read it and we dwell on it. Dwell, I just got a new definition from that last week from a guy in Sunday school class. He said, you want to camp out there. That's what dwell means. You want to camp out there. Never thought of that. But she wanted to camp out there. And the man that gave it to her was an older man. And we need younger guys. And I'll keep asking. There's a guy coming next week. It's a young guy. And there's many young men in here. The most blessed thing, the most heartwarming thing that you can do in the world is bring the lost to a saving knowledge of Jesus through the Word or through witnessing. But he said, read the inside back cover before you go to sleep tonight, little girl. So she was sitting in her room, and she was kind of hiding it. Why? Because her dad said, don't you mess with this. Don't you read this, because you can't understand it by yourself. So she was sitting there reading it, and she became so enthused with what she was reading, she didn't see her dad come in the room. Her dad came up behind her, and he looked at her, and he said, give me that. And he snatched it out of her hands. And she started bawling because she just started reading about John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10:17, where you can call on the name of the Lord and He'll save you. But she had it taken out of her hands. But because He loved His daughter, He said, I'm going to put this in my pocket, my coat pocket, and I'm going to take it to work. And I'm going to check it out and see if it's okay for you to read. So he took it to work in Columbus, South America, and he worked in the coal mines. And he took it there, and a terrible event happened that day. The mine shaft caved in. I was born in West Virginia, and West Virginia used to have all these coal mines, and there was terrible things. It wasn't just here, but each and every day people are dying. Souls are dying without Jesus. I don't know if he knew the Lord or not, but the town was devastated. But before they ran out of God's air, they read what his little girl was reading. And all 12 of those men in there signed their name right beneath where it says, my decision to receive Christ as my Savior or accept Christ as my Savior. They signed it. And they had a party. And what did they do in heaven? They had the biggest celebration you can think of. And they have no time to be confined in to have these celebrations. When you bring your children or your grandchildren, be speakers for them. draw them, drive them, speak up for them, witness for them. Nothing's more important than that. Isn't God's word wonderful? Isn't it great with what we just had read in Isaiah 55:11? It's true. It won't come back empty or void, but it's going to accomplish what He pleases and prosper. Love that word. It's going to prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. Two of the areas, and we go to many areas. We don't, only 8% of the scriptures or Bibles we're allowed to hand out are in hotels and motels. Most of them go to kids. And I handed out some pictures we're going to talk about here real quick. Pictures of kids that we hand them out from 5th grade to 12th grade and colleges. We're going to Akron University in 2 weeks, not next week, 2 weeks. And then we're going to go to Kent State, Ohio State, go to John Carroll, all the major universities or all the universities around, and hand out God's word. And people, hear this. There is a movement today that people are hungering and thirsting for the word of God. And you ask them, if you ever given your life to the Lord, if you would die today, do you know if you would be going to heaven? And they'll look you in the eye and they'll say, well, yeah, I was a good person. But you know and I know that's not what it's all about. And if you read scriptures, Adam, Akron U, he said, yeah, please read to me. And he accepted Jesus. Wayne, at the fair. Doris, there are people out there that want to hear the word of God. They want to hear and they will accept it. We go to hotels, motels, schools, hospitals, we go to EMS, etc. The two most prevalent places, though, are the military and hospitals or any kind of medical field, because people are thinking about dying there. It's dangerous. My son-in-law, which I told you about the last time I was here last year, he was in Desert Storm. He contracted pancreatic cancer when he's 34 years old, and he left behind when he got back to the States. He died of pancreatic cancer when he was 34, and he had a 9-month-old, he had a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 12-year-old at that time. They're older now, but you know how he came to Christ? It wasn't by anything that I said. I can still picture him sitting in church and he was reading. And I snuck up behind him just like that dad did, because he was my son. He was my son-in-law. And he wanted to know about Jesus. I was able to baptize him. Just reenact what Jesus has already done. But he was reading from Revelation. It was so neat. I said, what are you reading, Gary? And he said, I'm reading about no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. See, after they found out he had that, he lasted about 7 months. And he was hurting. But when he died, I'm getting chills now. When he died, he was smiling because he knew who he belonged to and he knew where he was going. When I hold this, the full Bible or the New Covenant, the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, I feel like I'm holding Jesus. I'm going to confess something to you. I've been here 3-4 times. I'm going to say something. And if you ask me, why were you there? I'm going to say, it doesn't matter because God forgave me. It's gone. He wiped it out as far as the east is from the west, as far as the deepest part of the sea. I was in prison for a while. And I'm ashamed for that time. I was in jail. And you know what? Doesn't matter. I was also in mental institutions, me and my 6 of us, 7 brothers and sisters, which I shared with you before, but it doesn't matter. He has a plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us. We all have a story to tell, and that story connects with bringing others to Jesus for salvation. I remember, and Annie, you made me think this. I remember two ladies. The band. You know what? Sometimes I have to plug my ears up for your worship service because you choke me up. You guys should enter a contest. Seriously, there's one on gospel singing, gospel playing. You should do it. But there's two ladies, the last time I was hospitalized, that came up to me and said, we're going to pray, we're going to read from God's word. Would you come do that with us? And I'll never forget. Never forget, because I got it here at first. It was just like reading verses. It's here at first, and then where does it go? It goes here. Same way with bad thoughts. God allowed me to, because of the bad person I was, I still am, but I'm forgiven. He allowed me to become a counselor and talk with people, Christian counselor. But if it goes here and it's a bad thought, get it out here. Confess it one to another. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. This is what these ladies read. If he hath committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And it felt like all the weight in the world went off of my heart and my soul and my very being. Because we prayed and asked for God to forgive us, and we asked him to start over. And we can do that each and every day if we need to. How many times will he forgive us? Innumerable. In the old covenant, the old law was just, what, 7? And you're done, man. You do it again, you're done. But 70 times 7, he said, over and over and over. And never been back. And 3 of my other brothers and sisters are that way too. They've given their life to the Lord. That's what this is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about loving him and loving each other compassionately. And that means being patient, being kind, not being self-seeking. That's a tough one. Not being rude, not easily angered. He gives us that definition. He says, always protect. Oh, the first counselor that my wife and I went to, because we went to about 7 different marriage counselors because of me. In the first one, he asked one question, and he kicked us out. He could ask one question. You know what he said? He said, are you committed? Are you committed? Then the second time, he kept us a little longer, but he said, are you protecting your wife's heart? Are you protecting each other's heart? Because that's an all, that's a first always in love. And it's in here. Are you giving them a hope or assurance? Are you trusting each other through trusting him? Are you persevering, able to persevere? God's word has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things, anything that comes up. Let's take these pictures. I was able to go to our library. You know how much ink this costs? I don't do this at my house, man. The ink is gold. There's $1, $2. We have such a good library, you can run off 50 copies. But let me go through these 4 pictures. This young lady, see that one that has a star on her face? And you can kind of hand it, look at this and hand it around. She has a star around her face. We are in Peru, and God has opened up the doors to 200 countries. And we used to say we had just a little bit over 101 languages. You know what these are? This is what kids, when we go to colleges, you know what they have in their face all the time? I got this up for a timer, but I also had this up to show you what kids do when you go to colleges. They're doing this, aren't they? You know what else you can put on this, though? You can put on a Bible app. This is the best Bible app. I've got quite a few on my phone, but this is the best Bible app I've ever heard. It's dramatized. You have different people that speak the different parts. But you know how many languages this is in, Chuck? 1,266 languages. You will not meet a person that their language is not in this. And when you go to colleges and universities, we finally figure it out. You know, they can't read. A lot of them can't read it. And they'll ask questions. Now, who are you? Why are you here? And say, please read. And if you can tell anybody to read one part of the Bible, ask them to read the Gospel of John first. Just read the Gospel of John first. And that's amazing. That's amazing. This young lady said, there's no way. And I know what she was talking about. There's no way God can forgive me. This is America. She was the interpreter. Isn't that funny? God gave you went to Peru and you found an interpreter named America. And she was the Joyce Meyer of Peru. And she witnessed to these 4 young ladies. But this one young lady that has the star around her, she was very hesitant in accepting Jesus as her Savior. She was very hesitant because she said, there's no way God can forgive me. There's no way. But we read the verses that I just said about my own heart, my own soul. He'll forgive you as far your sins as far as the deepest part of the ocean. He'll put it there. Or as far as the east is from the west. Does that ever meet? East? I don't think so. It doesn't meet. Doesn't get there, does it? So she was the happiest because she finally heard from the Word of God. The truth is that there's nothing, nothing that you have done, young lady, that He can't forgive. And they all signed that book. And that's what they have, the book. They have the New Testament. I accept Jesus as my Savior. We went to a school and we asked them. You know, even though I'm telling the same story sometimes, I never get tired of telling them because they're so neat. The most worn, torn New Testament, Psalm and Proverb, this teacher received in 1985. And this was the only little Bible, that's what the kids call them, the little Bible, that they had ever gotten in their life. And they put the verses on the board, Proverbs and Psalms, put them on the board. And the teacher came to America to get that, but when she went to teach, she got her degree here in America, in California. She went back to the Philippines, to teach. And they used God's Word. And she said, could we buy some scriptures from you? Remember what we told her? We said, no, but we can give them to you. Because of you. Because of you. Right now, of all the scriptures that are given throughout the world, you have a big part of that. And that part is about 1/5 of all the Bibles and scriptures in the world come about through the Lord's Gideon ministry. It's not ours. It's His. A little over 2.2 billion have been handed out. And what happens if they read them? God didn't ask us to be the harvesters, did He? Who's the Lord of the harvest? He is. He asked us to be the sowers through word or handing out the word. Get it out there through saying, hey, and the kids know how to put these. What's that thing on the back? They can just, I don't know how they do. They can scan that and it goes right on there. They know how to do this. They will accept this. And His word won't come back empty or void. We went to the classroom. I get chills when I come to you guys. When we went to the classroom, the kids are holding their mouths. A couple of them are falling out of their seats. They couldn't sit still. They're jumping up and down because they have nothing. They try to live on $2 or less a day. I'm so glad the climate is warm there. There's no window panes in the windows. They eat rice, and I'm so glad that rice is inexpensive. But these little kids got the most precious gift they'll ever hold in their hands until Jesus holds them in heaven. And can they read English? Yeah, all their classes. Isn't that neat? All their classes are in English. Back in World War II, MacArthur, what did he say? I shall return. He was talking about the Philippines, I think. Check me out. I could be wrong on that, but I think he was talking about the Philippines. I'll be back. And he came back. But not only did he come back, the Lord had a plan to go to countries like this that are so poor that they can't buy their own scriptures, but we can. That's the most precious thing the Lord likes to see. He likes sore knees from what? From praying. He said, at one time when this world is about to end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. This is the first school we went to in Peru. And this is only half of them. In Peru, the schools there, they have shifts. You know, here, if we run out of room, what do? We build a new school. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but that's what we do. There, they have kids that go in the morning, very early, start about 7, and then they have another shift of kids come in at 1, and some of the bigger towns or cities throughout Peru, they have 3 shifts. But the principal said this, and pray that this will happen in the United States. Pray that the Lord will move the hearts of men in government, in school systems, in state and city systems, where they'll bring the Lord back there. He said, I want you to tell them where you got that name? Where'd you get the name Gideon from? And we can tell them a little bit about, you know, he said, I can't do anything. He was the weak of the weak, wasn't he? He was from the smallest tribe. But God made him a warrior, didn't He? And then He said, tell them your purpose. And our purpose is this. Our purpose is the same as your church here. And you have your pastor. Love his first name, but number one, I love him for 3 other reasons, though. He's the only pastor that did these 3 things, and he's done this the last 2 years. I don't know if I told you last year or not. He calls me, and he said, what theme do you want to have? And he put it right on the bulletin. We don't have that. I'm going to say it. Some of the churches say, oh, by the way, here he is, you know, and you're going to speak. And you don't feel warm. I can look you guys in the eye. And I got to keep track of my watch so I don't go overtime, because you're very encouraging. You got the vision. You got the purpose in your hearts. And that's to bring the lost around here, but not just here. That's like saying, you know, I've got a problem and I'm going to keep it. And the problem is sin, and I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to keep it right here. I'm going to keep working on it right here. It just makes a hole in the paper after a while, doesn't it? But what's God want us to do? He wants us to go out with it, doesn't he? Out and up. But in this picture, the third thing he asked us is, he said, I want you to go through the plan of salvation with my students. Wow. Wow. So we just read verses, and we read the three or four verses. The one I talked to with my mom came to salvation. John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:17, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the kids that did that, you know, we don't know their hearts, but throw it out there. Just be a provider of the great news that Jesus saves, and the great news is here. And during that time, one-on-ones or at schools, there were 4,266, and this is in 2 weeks with 179 missionaries. The 179, we got about 150, 160 from those that are already established there, and that's what this ministry is already about. Is there already missionaries there that know the customs, know the language, knows how to get in and out of schools, and they have a good rapport. And we had 19 from all the different continents. And I have them signed on here. This is a treasure. All the continents except Antarctica are signed on here. That's from missionary. That's you. That's what we are. We're an extension of your church. We're missionaries. But many of them. And here's the last thing we did with the schools, before I show you the last picture, is we said, we're going to take your picture. We kind of teased them a little bit, but they'd love to have their picture taken. We're going to take your picture. So hold up your little Bible and repeat after me. And they yelled out right after us, I promise, I promise, I will read my Bible every day. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if they read it? Good and honest, good soiled hearts are going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, and they're going to accept him. Last picture. I can still feel kids grabbing us. We were allowed to, when we go overseas, we were allowed to go fourth grade up. But what about the first, second, third graders? They can read. There's some that read better than I do in second grade. They can read. They can understand. When did you first know about Jesus? They can understand. So they want a copy. They have nothing like this at home. So they're reaching. They're grabbing. They want you to make, they want to make sure that they have a copy also. There's a pile of kids this high. I had a box like that. Had 13 left, and they're afraid they weren't going to get any, so they knocked a box out of my hand, and they piled on. They just dove on the box. And the littlest guy got a copy, and you could hear him screaming at the bottom. Remember what he was screaming? Get him off, I can't breathe. But when we got to him, we were pulling him off the hands and feet, and got to him, and this little guy was curled up in a fetal position, but he had the biggest smile on his face that you could ever imagine, like that girl's picture we just saw. Because he too was holding the most precious gift that he'll hold until Jesus holds him in heaven. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus that we're holding here. There's two stories, and Lord, which one do you want me to tell to close with? Everybody has a mom, right? I tried for decades to talk with my mom about Jesus. She would always say, she wouldn't even say him. She'd say, I don't like to talk about that. She'd cut me off. 25 years I tried. And I kept trying and trying, and I had the biggest mistake in the world. And that is what we all have a tendency to have a mistake with, is I couldn't get myself out of the way. I kept thinking about what I should say, what I should do. But I was not doing what God said to do. She contacted cancer. And the doctor said she had 2 months to live. So I called her. And the Lord, after I got down on my knees, I said, Lord, what can I do? What can I say? He said, just read to her. Just read to her. You got some people right now, before this day is over, I'm begging you to get some verse. Just get those four verses and read to them and ask them, what's your heart say? What's the Lord saying to you? And I read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That heart was so hard and callous because her dad committed suicide on the front porch when she was 17 years old. 3 o'clock in the morning, he shot himself. There were 7 kids still in the house. There were 9 kids total. She came out and saw him, so she got a little callous. I never saw my mom cry once. That's a whole other story. She got a callous there. Then 2 years after that, 2 of her older brothers went out carousing on Christmas Eve. They got caught in a snowstorm. They couldn't get their car out of the snowbank. So they said, well, we're just going to stay here. And they had a young lady with them too. They were both married and they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And they backed that car. They tried to get out. And they let the car drift back into a snowdrift. And they died of carbon monoxide poisoning. So that callus, that wall that God talks about over and over, the hardened heart, got harder. Then the youngest of us 7 kids died of AIDS when he was 24 years old. So my mom, every time I ask her, the same thing. She didn't want to talk about it. She didn't want to talk about him. But I read to her, just like God revealed to me, his word won't come back empty or void. Just read to her. She didn't stop me. I read John 3:16, and you know what she said? See, her great-grandfather was a traveling preacher. He used to break the ice in creeks and baptize people. He was the town drunk for a while. He was a big guy. He used to take guys and grab them and take them into town to drink. Now he'd take them and grab them and say, you coming with me to church. But she had the knowledge there. But she just turned her back on it for so long. But she said, I believe, after she heard John 3:16. Then we read Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I said, I'm sorry for the son that I wasn't, because I wasn't a good son. She said, I'm sorry for the mom I wasn't. So we cried together on the phone. Then we read the most precious verse, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. I don't like that part. But the second part is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we call on the name of the Lord. And I believe I'll see my mom again. Because I finally got out of the way. I got myself out of the way. Hardest thing in the world to do is get myself out of the way and let go and let God's word reach the lost. I'd see my mom again. Please just keep doing what you have been doing. Enter the contest. I'm saying that facetiously, but you guys have a message through music. Don't stop doing that. But share. Just share the best you can. I had a young lady in Toledo, Ohio. She said, how much is a scripture? At that time, when I talked to that lady in Ohio, young lady, she had a job that paid minimum wage. She said, I got enough to buy one scripture. How much does one of these cost? She said, I said, at that time it was $1.25. She pulled out $1.25 and said, I want to buy one. She said, but I'm going to make this promise. I'm going to make this promise. When I'm able, I'm going to buy enough for a small village. I want to buy 200, which would be 2 boxes. Now, there's 20 publishing companies, and you know what the price is down to now, brother? Down to $1.16. Where else? There's no better deal in the world. There's no better deal in the world. For every $116, you can buy a whole box. saddest eyes I've ever seen in my life are those kids that don't get one. And one out of three right now are not getting one. So if you're not able to share today, share in the future. There's bulletins going to hand out, and it's got envelopes in them. And know this, someone's going to come up to you, and they're going to say, you know that day on August 19th, 2018? I didn't have a book. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't have scriptures. I had no knowledge of what Jesus was all about. But you purchased that, and because you purchased that, I finally got a copy. And they're going to hug you and say, God bless you and thank you. And thank all of you. Thank you. You guys are a blessing.